2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 and 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The Apostle Paul is describing a situation in the Corinthian church where there had been false teachers, false prophets that had come in among them. And so there were times, and some of the people that came in, they required of them letters of recommendation or commendation back and forth, so that they would understand the credibility of their ministry and of their life. But Paul said, even more powerful, I'm paraphrasing here, even more powerful than just a letter of recommendation is when it's obvious that the Spirit of God has written His name upon your life and upon your heart, and you become a living letter, a living epistle, a living testimony to the world around you, that everyone knows who you belong to. Everyone is aware of the fact that there's no need for a letter of commendation, because your life stands as a living letter of what God has done in your life. Praise God. If we were to have the kind of influence, and I do believe that, so we described in the service this morning, that it is the will of God that Christians be influencers, that we be able to touch the lives of people and to influence the lives of people. And much of the time we think of ourselves as people that, we don't necessarily have, we often think of ourselves as not that great, not that mighty, not that powerful, and we could never do anything. But it's just the fact that God has done a work in your heart. He has written upon your heart a message, and that message can be transferred, and it's a credible message. It will have an impact, because it's not of you, it's not what you have done, but it's what God has done by His Spirit in your life that causes you to become a person that is an influencer for the kingdom of God. Amen. If you think yourself too small, too insignificant, not capable of being someone that God can use, you're bad wrong. You're terribly wrong. As a matter of fact, when you look through the Scripture, you'll see that the Lord oftentimes chose small things, insignificant people, often the weak and the lowly and many. You know, God works and He uses small things. Amen. There's really a scriptural principle, the law of the small, the law of the little. God uses small things, little things, insignificant things. And He takes that little thing, that small thing, and He causes it to flourish and to grow and to be something wonderful and mighty for God. Amen. Whatever you commit to the Lord, even though it might be small, when God writes upon your heart, it has the potential for wonderful and mighty things. Amen. That's a great thing about serving Jesus, is that He can take your weaknesses, your little contribution to the kingdom of God, and He can multiply it and use it for wonderful and mighty things, and far beyond anything you could ever dream of. Amen. So we are a living letter. We are a living testimony to the world today. We don't have to have necessarily credibility. Remember that those early disciples, that they were ignorant and unlearned, the Bible says. And they, and you know, the religious hierarchy, they were kind of confused about these men, that they were having such influence and such power was being demonstrated in their lives. And they recognized that they didn't have the pedigree, they didn't have the education, they didn't have all these qualifications, but it was obvious they had been with Jesus. It was obvious that God had written on their fleshly heart and not on tables of stone that would be transferred as a letter of recommendation. Instead, their life was their recommendation. Their life was what they were. It was the testimony. Let me tell you, God delights in using the small. There's great power in small things. We talked a little bit this morning from Matthew chapter 5 about the salt. And I tell you, one of the ways to determine or measure a good cook is they know how to season food. They know how to season it. Every once in a while, I'll eat somewhere and I'll get a hold of something that someone, and it's bland and tasteless. And you just think, they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know. Now, it doesn't take a lot, does it? And a lot of times the old timers, they wouldn't even measure it out, but it was just a little pinch of salt. Just a little amount, but it was small, but it's powerful. Amen. It changed it, didn't it? It made it from bland to good. Amen. So is it true of your life and your living testimony? Everywhere you go, you may think that you're small and insignificant, but God can use you. Small, but yet God takes that and does wonderful and great things in our life and through our lives. Remember the story of the 5,000 that were fed when that little lad brought his small little lunch. It was only 2 fish, 5 little barley loaves. It was small. It was really just enough for him. That's all it was. But when he was willing, and there's no indication in that text at all that that young man is not just totally willing to give it to God. He puts that in the hands of Jesus, and Jesus knows what to do, and he commands that it would be dispersed and multiplied, and that's exactly what had happened. And the Lord took that little small lunch and made it into dinner for 5,000 plus. Glory to God. God takes the small, multiplies it, use it for great things. So just encouraging you again tonight to place your life into the hands of the Lord and see what he might do. Amen. Jesus took 6 jars of water, and as a result, they brought those jars of water to him, and he saved the day at the wedding of Cana, didn't he? Amen. It was just a little bit, but it was great. And the Lord, as we described this morning, the Lord used that small little handful of disciples, those few men, and put his hand upon them and blessed them and anointed them, and they turned the world upside down. Amen. God can use you. He could use all of us if we can see that God has done a work by his Spirit. He's written on our hearts. And so our commendation to the world is just that. That the world can see we've been with the Lord. The Lord can see our credibility is that we have been with God. We've been in the presence of the Lord. We've been, shut away in the presence of the Lord. That gives us credibility to the world. That gives us a ministry that's will have an impact. A life that'll make an impact. Amen. The Lord loves to use the small, the little, and he uses the small, uses the ordinary to do extraordinary. He takes the small, the mundane, to make it into something wonderful and miraculous, the impossible, into that which is possible. That's how God works. If you allow him to do a work in you. Sunday school class this morning, Brother Bowman made just a little brief mention of David and Samuel coming to the house of Jesse, and the 7 big, tall, impressive ones were lined up there, and he just went down the line, not this one, nope, not this one, not this one. The Lord was, nope, went all the way down the line, not one of them. Is this all? I mean, seven fine, strong-looking young men who all probably from any impression that was made, all of them were probably pretty impressive. No, there's another one. It's the only one, other one is David. He's out there taking care of his father's sheep. He's young. He's inexperienced in a lot of ways. But he spends a lot of time in the presence of the Lord. He spends a lot of time in worshiping out there and taking care of his father's sheep and all of that task and all that responsibility that he has. There's something that's being shaped in him and formed in him. And the making of a king is taking place out there in that wilderness. Amen. Because God delights in taking the small, the insignificant, the little into doing that which is great. Amen. Don't that encourage you? That encourages me that God can... He could put his hand on me. He could put his hand upon you. He could put his hand on this group here tonight. And we may not be, you know, a great big huge crowd of people, but the Lord can take this group that's here on a Sunday night, and he could really do some mighty things in us. If we would commit ourselves to him and put ourselves in his hands, he delights in doing extraordinary things out of the ordinary. Hallelujah. And we didn't ask him to do that. Luke 16 and 10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Amen. What the Lord has given to you, even though it might be small, you might feel like that your gifts and talents and what you have to offer to the Lord may not be all that much, but go ahead and put it in his hands. If you'll be faithful with that which is least, God is able to take that and make it something great. You can be faithful even over that which is much. Amen. Glory to God. You know, whenever the enemies of the Jews looked upon what was taking place there as they were trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, they said, what do these feeble Jews? What are these feeble Jews? Who do they think they are? They're just weak. They don't have, you know, they're not going to be able to get nothing done. But they had been dispatched by God. They were on assignment from God to restore the city, to rebuild the walls. And they recognized that they were on a mission for God. And even though those around them were whispering and saying, what do these feeble Jews think they're doing? Are they going to last a day? Will they be able to do anything out here? Amen. Zechariah, the prophet, spoke about this exact group of people in Zechariah 4 and 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. They're going to see this take place. They're going to see the construction. They're going to see the restoration of the city and the walls built. They're going to see it all take place. And God's going to do it with this small little band of people. Amen. Little as much when God is in it. Isn't that true? Amen. All through the scripture. That's God just used small things. Even some of the instruments that were used. Moses, he just had a rod. It was really just a stick. It wasn't much, but whenever he would stretch forth that rod, something supernatural would take place. The Red Sea opened and the water came out of the rock and there was power and authority and that rock, that rod symbolized his faith and his confidence in God to use him. Amen. David, it was just a little sling, a few little stones going up again. It was small little David with a small little sling out there in that valley up against that big giant. But that's what it took. Is David who, when he marched out there, he was just saying, I come to you, I don't come to you with sword or with all of this armament. I just come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm out here and defending the name of the Lord. I heard him being blasphemed out here. And the name of the Lord is being dishonored out here. And I've come out here to defend the name of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was upon David as he marched toward Goliath. He was small. He had a small little, you know, instrument in his hands. Goliath was making his big, bold statements. I'm going to feed you to the birds today. I'm going to destroy you out here. Why, you've made a mockery of me sending out this little child up against me. And but we all know the wonderful end of that story, the great victory that came to Israel that day. And it came because God was able to use little David, who was small, insignificant, but he put himself in the hands of the Lord. He was willing, since no one else was, he was willing to defend the name of the Lord. God uses the small, the insignificant. Amen. Amen. How about the ox goad there in Judges chapter 3? Shamgar's ox goad. How about Samson's jawbone of an ass in Judges chapter 15? You can go on and on and on. The examples in the scripture of God using small things, little things to accomplish wonderful and big things for the glory of God. And it is a wonderful thing. You see, when you commit yourself to the Lord, then you can just kind of expect that God is going to providentially work. He's going to open doors. He's going to bless you and use you and anoint you. And don't never despise the day of small things. Never despise where God has placed you or what calling you have. And you may feel like it's insignificant and not important, but God uses the small, little as much. And God is in it. A lady by the name of Kitty Suffield was a music student as a child. She was born in 1884. She was a talented musician, a singer, and a pianist. And she had all these ambitions, musical ambitions. But at age 19, she got saved. She gave up all of her concert ambitions and began to serve the Lord and put her life in the hands of the Lord. One night in the middle of a severe storm, she's on a train, and the train is not able to go any further. And so they send a messenger out to find help, and he comes to a little house like a cabin in the woods, and they're all on the train, and there's no heat. They're all cold. And so they go to the house of Fred. Let me get his last name here. Fred Suffield. And Fred invites all those that are on the train to come into his home where it's warm. And they spend several hours there until the train is up and able to go. And the people all leave his warm home and get back on the train and take off. But it was Kitty who wrote him a letter back, a card or a letter, and said, "Thank you for taking care of us that night." She was 19 years old, and it started a little letter writing thing back and forth between Kitty and Fred. They start writing each other, finding out that they both are Christians and that they are both called of God for ministry. Long story short is, after several letters and meetings, they get married. And they are in Canada, and they are working in little small stations of doing evangelistic work, where there's just little small groups of people. And for years, they spend their early life, adult life, of working with little bands of people in that Canadian wilderness. It's a great story. A little bit later on, when they're about middle age, Kitty begins to write songs. She writes several songs that you would recognize if I gave you the name of the song, but the one that she's most noted for is the one that we've just quoted a couple of times here tonight. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Somehow, that song caught the ear of a young singer who was just joining a young evangelist. His name was George Beverly Shea. And they met, and she gave him an and was so thrilled that he was interested as a young singer in singing her song and several of her songs. And so even though she spent her life and her years in ministry hidden away in the Canadian wilderness, her songs went all over the world. Glory to God. Her labor, her faithful labor in that small, little insignificant place, the Lord took the inspiration of that song, and George Beverly Shea heard it, and he sang it all over the world, and her music had a worldwide impact, and she could have never, ever have arranged such a wonderful life. Amen. Glory to God. Does the place you're called to labor seem too small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. That's a great song with lots of great verses. But when you know the story, it even has a greater impact. George Beverly Shea basically introduced the song, and it's been sung and recorded many, many times by lots of Christian singers and artists all these many years. And she's been gone to heaven for a long time, but still she's reminding people little as much if God is in it. Hallelujah. Do you understand that God can take your small, your little investment, your little ministry, your little calling, and He can do some things with it that you could never, ever dream of or imagine? Amen. God can do some wonderful things. I was reading, and I mentioned I was actually going to talk about him this morning in the service, but never got around to it. Some of you may have heard of David Green in the news in the last few months. David Green is in the top 100 by Forbes magazine in wealth. He's number 90. He's worth $5 billion. That's quite a bit of money, isn't it? But David Green was raised by a father that was a preacher, who his father was a preacher, and there were generations of preachers of the gospel. He wasn't called to be a preacher, but he was a devout Christian. And when he was about 30 years old, he decided to start a business in his garage. And he committed it to the Lord. He was committed to the Lord. And even his business, he committed to the Lord. He started out of his garage. His two sons, Steve and Mart, both of them glued together little picture frames that he was selling out of his garage in this little business that he had. After a few years, I think it was about 3 years, he opened up a store. And it just had 300 square feet in that little store. But it began to take off. David Green now owns 555 stores. They're called Hobby Lobby all over the United States. And he's a Christian. Hobby Lobby is closed on Sunday. Amen. He's dedicated his fortune to the work of God, to the kingdom of God. He's given over $700 million to ministries. Incredible. And even today he's worth $5 billion. And his testimony is this, and he's one of the ones that's fighting against some of the issues of the Affordable Care Act. And back in July, he was able to get a reprieve from the Supreme Court because he said, I'm not going to buy insurance for my employers if they require me to buy insurance that will be a provider of abortion drugs. I'm not going to do that. And he took his stand and he said, I will close every one of my stores, all 555 of them. If I am being forced to do that, I'll close every one of them. He's made a statement as far as his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously, since he gives so much money, they estimate that he gives close to 50% of his profits away. And, of course, that means that people all over the world are sending him requests for money. All kinds of churches and ministries and colleges, and he's helped all kinds of colleges. I said he's given over $700 million away to ministries. I went through all this story about this man just to remind you that he started small. He committed it to the Lord. And now he has a wealth that he's committed. And when this Forbes magazine article that I read about him, when they asked him about what was going to happen with his fortune after he's gone, he said, it's all going in the kingdom of God. Every bit of it is going into the kingdom of God. Wow. Amen. And all of these years, as I said, he's given all this money away. He has provided not only funds for churches, not only for universities like Liberty University, Oral Roberts University, and many other several Assemblies of God colleges and all different types of ministries. He has also put nearly 1.4 billion copies of gospel literature in homes in more than 100 countries, mostly in Africa and Asia. Now, he could have never have dreamed that all of this was going to happen. But early on, he committed it to God. He committed his life and his future and any fortune that came to him, he committed it into the hands of the Lord. Amen. God turned little into much. Now, I'm not going to suggest that we're all going to become millionaires or billionaires. But I will tell you this. If you'll commit what God has given to you, your gifts, your talents, your possessions, everything that you have, if you'll put it in the hands of the Lord, and never say, this is mine. And that's what David Green says. He said, all of this is not mine. I don't own it. It all belongs to God. And it's true that everything we have, not only financial possessions, but all gifts and talents and everything, we need to place it in the hands of the Lord. And let me tell you, God can take your small and do much greater than you could ever imagine. Hallelujah. What's our credibility? Is it a letter? Do we need a letter of commendation? Paul said, no, what you need is God to write by His Spirit upon your heart so that your life is a living testimony of the work of God in your life. And God can take the small and do great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word and for the challenge tonight to all of us. Lord, help us each one to commit our lives, our futures, everything that we have, and to put it into your hands, to know, Lord, that everything that this world offers, it's fleeting, it's passing away. It's only the things that we invest in the kingdom of God as we give our lives to you and our futures, our gifts, our talents, everything, our lives placed in your hands. Then, as we're faithful in that which is least, then, Lord, you can give us opportunities even for wonderful and great things. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.